So, hi everybody. I'm Julia Charlton. I'm a partner of Charlton's, a law firm in Hong Kong. And I'm so happy to be with you today for our webinar on listing opportunities on Nasdaq Dubai. And who better to have here with me than Hui Min Chu of Nasdaq Dubai? So, let's look for a second at the UAE and Dubai. So, the UAE is a fast-growing economy and it's been hailed by the World Bank division of the GCC countries, the Middle East and North Africa, as one of the fastest economies in the Gulf Cooperation Council to reach its pre-pandemic levels with predicted growth of 4.7% this year, despite the global economic slowdown. At pre-pandemic levels, the UAE between 2014 and 2018 had cumulative growth rates for the information and communication sectors of over 27% and 28% for professional, scientific, and technology sectors, while the manufacturing industries grew at an annual rate of over 4% during the same period. Also, the UAE was ranked first in the Arab world and 19th globally for its ability to attract FDI inflows, according to the World Investment reports issued by UNCTAD. According to its Ministry of Economy, the UAE strives to enhance its position as a global hub for business centered on innovation, artificial intelligence, and entrepreneurship. Its UAE Centennial 2071 strategy hopes to make UAE the best country in the world by the year 2071. Over the past years, the UAE has initiated strategies covering blockchain, AI, green growth, and energy. In terms of capital markets, the Dubai Financial District, which is within the Dubai International Financial Centre, provides a one-stop shop and gives startup support for companies as well as access to the Dubai Future Fund with a fund of 1 billion AED and Nasdaq Dubai Growth Market. A similar fund, the Mohammed bin Rashid Innovation Fund, has also been established at a federal level with a capital of 2 billion AED. Dubai, in and of itself, is also a global financial leader, having ranked eighth in the world as a global financial center ahead of all other GCC locations in 2019. Its financial services sector generated a value add of 40.4 billion AED in 2018. But Hui Min is going to share with us a lot more about the key figures and the attractions of the Dubai capital markets. So, the Dubai International Financial Centre, which is the home of Nasdaq Dubai, has over 25,000 professionals working at more than 4,000 active companies, with over 1,000 of them in the financial and innovation-related sectors. And the value of equities traded on Nasdaq Dubai as of January 2021 reached over $1 billion, a 247% increase compared to the volumes traded in December 2020. It's also a leading financial hub for the Middle East, South Asia, and Africa, and South Asia. The DIFC is a financial free zone that's regulated by the independent Dubai Financial Services Authority with an independent common law-based legal system under the jurisdiction of the DIFC courts, covering securities, corporate, commercial, trust, employment, and civil law. In 2022, DIFC posted its best performance records in its 17-year history, with a 36% increase from 2020 in the number of companies registered in this financial center. A 16% rise in revenue, totaling 897 AED, and a 26% rise in operating profits to around AED 573 million. Also, startups within its fintech hub, the DIFC Fintech Hive, collective raised over $530 million. So Nasdaq Dubai is located in the Dubai International Financial Center, and it's the international stock exchange between Western Europe and East Asia. The exchange currently lists equities, REITs, equity derivatives, bonds, Islamic bonds, and funds, and investors can trade on Nasdaq Dubai through a mix of regional and international brokers. It also has a large and diversified investor base from 212 nationalities with a world-class marketplace. So I'm absolutely delighted to welcome our speaker, Hui Min Chu, who's responsible for Nasdaq Dubai's collaboration with Chinese companies and has been in the UAE since 2009. Hui Min has worked in some of the largest regional and global Chinese financial institutions and has actively provided solutions and marketing products to leading Middle East financial institutions and sovereign wealth funds. Hui Min gained her bachelor's degree in international business from a university in the UAE and has native proficiency in Chinese and English. So over to you, Hui Min.
Thank you, Julia. Good afternoon, everyone. We are delighted to welcome you to this webinar and focus on opportunity for Chinese company in Dubai that highlights the opportunity Dubai's capital markets offer to investors, issuers, and foreign market participants globally. My name is Hui Min Chiu, and I'm leading the Chinese business development at both NASA Dubai and Dubai Financial Markets. I would like to thank for you all for joining us today for this webinar, where we will be discussing IPO opportunities for SMEs. So I would first like to thank Julia and the team for arranging this webinar and giving us the opportunities to talk about Dubai's capital markets. United Arab Emirates, UAE, is the second largest Arab economy, and China has been one of the top trading partners with UAE for a number of years. The two countries enjoy a good strategic relationship at government and business level. Now, Dubai is further improving its position as the region's business and capital market hubs. This includes Dubai's role in the Belt and Road Initiative, which is so beneficial to MISA country and China itself. NASA Dubai already has a strong relationship with Chinese issuers through a bond platform for Chinese banks that have based in Dubai International Financial Center, Agricultural Bank of China, Bank of China, China Construction Bank, and Industry and Commercial Bank of China has listed bond with us, and the Hong Kong government has listed Sukuk with us. NASA Dubai's activity is supporting Chinese companies are unmatched anywhere in the region, and potential for this relationship to continue growth is unlimited. So before I talk about NASA Dubai listing, I will briefly introduce you to the Dubai's capital market and its wider involvement. This will include in Dubai government initiatives, investor opportunities, as well as the financial involvement and global connectivities. So in 2021, the Security and Exchange Higher Community of Dubai approved the establishment of the market maker funds worth up to 2 billion dirhams to increase liquidity in the market. The community also launched a 1 billion dirhams fund to support tech company IPO to encouraging innovative financial products and solutions. The Deputy Rule of Dubai and Deputy Prime Minister and Ministry of Finance of the UAE announced a listing of 10 government and state-owned companies in Dubai financial market. Along then, the Dubai Electricity and Water Authority, as the first listed company in the project, was listed on Dubai financial markets in April this year, becoming the largest IPO in the UAE and the second largest IPO in the MENA. We will go into more details later. In order to connect it with the international market, the UAE changed its working days to Monday to Friday, which will better integrate with the international markets. This new initiative can reflect how active and flexible of Dubai's capital market. As Julia mentioned earlier, NASA Dubai is located in Dubai International Financial Center. DIFC is the largest and most developed fintech ecosystem in the region. DIFC also ranks 8th largest international financial center in the world by GFCI in 2019, and there's 2,500 financial institutions, insurance companies, and law firms are located in the center. The DIFC location will also provide key advantage for listed company. UAE's politics and society has maintained its long-term stability and had stable policy of opening to the world. Meanwhile, Dubai ranks sixth of ranking in a ranking of safety city in the world, and the UAE is also become a suitable place to live and invest. Dubai is one of the world's leading logistic hubs, with the largest the largest airline and the second largest port operator, and play a key role in the Belt and Road Initiative. Dubai has only 4 hours time difference with China and 3 to 4 hours time difference with Europe. This makes Dubai a bridge between East and West. The UAE has a wealth of industry opportunities in fintech, Islamic economy, consumer business, and agriculture and food. 47% of all fintech deals globally in 2019 came from the UAE. And Dubai is allowing 100% foreigner ownership and has bilateral double taxation avoidance agreement with 115 countries. This friendly policy has also attracted many foreigner companies to do a business and investment in Dubai. The UAE's ranking for easy of doing business has grown from 68 in 2008 to 16 in 2020 and the first of Middle East. UAE also has the largest advantage in global talent's competitiveness, ranking around tops in the GTCI. And this is why Dubai, UAE has become a world-class livable city with more than 200 nationalities living here and a private worth of $517 billion. China is a top trade partner for the UAE and Dubai. Dubai improving his position as the international business hub of choice for Chinese business, with more than 4,000 Chinese companies already joining thousands of international companies that are leveraging the world-class infrastructure and regulations Dubai offers. Although then, Dubai's Chinese top four major banks has set up their region headquarters in Dubai to expand their business in MENA region. More than 60% of Chinese trade in the region transit through the UAE, which reflects the close and friendly relationship between UAE and China. Dubai's capital market at the heart of the constructive relationship and has become a market of interest for Chinese companies looking to connect with international investors, raising funds, and expand their business in our region and beyond. As you may know, we have two stock exchanges here in Dubai. We have got Nasdaq Dubai here in the DIFC and Dubai Financial Market onshore. The key difference between these two exchanges are Nasdaq Dubai is regulated by Dubai Financial Service Authority and DFM is regulated by Security and Commodity Authority. Both regulators have slightly different regulations, which give issuer benefits or wider choice of regulation that they can follow here in Dubai. Now we do have a combined liquidity pool on the two exchanges. So we have give investor for over 110 countries trading on the two exchanges. And as an investor, you can using the same broker to trade both the DFM and Nasdaq Dubai. So all the leading banks are connected to the both exchanges. For a quick overview of the key figures, the market capitalization of two exchanges is over 1.07 trillion dirhams with 74 equity listing in the market. We are the leading international debt listing venue in the region with over $115.68 billion worth bond and sukuk listing on the two exchanges. Dubai's capital market has swift growth, with the average daily trading value in November 2021 increased by 349% compared to January to October. Investors come from 110 different countries, covering 212 investors from different nationalities. Most of the sectors currently listed in Dubai Financial Center are financial sector, real estate and constructions. However, trade and manufacturing sector are actually the large proportion of Dubai's GDP. So we believe that the capital market had great potential for growth in terms of sector. For the perspective of listing in Dubai's capital market, we have no restriction on listing company sectors. When it comes to one of the key things the issuer looking for on which exchange to be listed is investor asset. Because doing an IPO is a matter of assessing investors. And one of the misconceptions is we heard from a company for the fact that when they come and list on our region exchange, they are only getting access to your local and region investor, and this is misconceptions. So what we have done, we have taken a snapshot of one of our listings to see where investors are coming from. And as I said earlier, we have got investors for 110 different countries. And for this particular listing, we have 37% investor coming from American, 30% from Europe, 27% for Middle East and Africa, and 6% for Asia. So this truly shows that the investor from all over the world are connected to our market over here, and not just investor. When it comes to issuer as well, we have got issuer from US all the way to China that have listing their security on the exchange. So we are glad to connect with international investors of 212 different nationalities and raise capital through our capital markets. When it comes to who invest, we have all the leading names from around the world that are attracting, that are trading on Nasdaq Dubai. And these are all the leading brokers here in UAE, as well as some of the international banks are connected directly to the exchange. The capital needs of this listed company in Dubai's capital market are 64.7 billion dirhams, but the subscription demands for investors who have received active marketing participation has reached 1.7 trillion dirhams. So for those successful multiple oversubscription, we can be reflect that the market has strong investor demands for good quality company to go public. And now our capital market is extending even further with the support of Dubai government. We welcome the IPO of Dubai Electricity and Water Authority by Dubai government on April this year with $22.3 billion dirhams IPO size and was oversubscribed 37 times. Tikkun Group was also listed in Dubai on July and Salik was listed on September with nearly 50 times oversubscriptions. We have looking forward to the next seven companies. This shows the interest in our market, but also important the connect to the investor and liquidity we have globally, which Chinese company can benefit from. Here in Dubai, we offer a range of opportunities through the two exchange, whether you want to remain private or you have been established for many years and very large global best business. We offer companies and financial institutions a wider range of fundraising and listing options. That includes the main market listing, the dual listing, the growth market designed for SMEs and growth companies to raise capital through IPO. When we're talking about why IPO, what are the benefits of going public? And obviously, the first thing that comes to my mind is raising capital. When company needs financing, they look at IPO as an option. But this is not just about raising capital. IPO really does give companies credibility. And we always said that it's kind of next milestone for the company when it comes to the growth. And the brand awareness is a credibility. IPO brings company a competitive advantage as well. Then, of course, there is others. There is employee engagement and stakeholder engagement. How many companies are listed offer share options to the employee and the employee are remained with them for a long time because they have these share options. But also allowing your vendor and your customer to be able to get the benefits from the success of your company as well. So always look at the benefits of the IPO, not just from a capital raising perspective, but others benefit as well. The NASDAQ Dubai main market listing requirement, the company minimum market value must more than $250 million and provides 3 years financial audit report. And that means the financial report need to meet the regulatory requirements. The company need to have sufficient working capitals and provide a working capital report. In terms of free flow, the company are required to provide at least 23% of their free flow. Company listing on the main market need to appoint a investment bank as a sponsor. Let's quick move to a requirement for listing on growth market. So where the difference between the growth market and the main market is any company that value at $250 million or below at the time of a listing will be joined the growth market. Anyone other than that will join our main market. We keep the free flow the same. It's 25% free flow for both markets. And the key change where around the financials is a growth market. They only require a minimum of 1 year audit financials and that without profitability. So you don't have to be profitable to do an IPO on the growth market. Whereas the main market is minimum of 3 years audit financial requirements. Corporate governance remains the same. We want a good quality company coming and listing on the growth market as well. And that's important to ensure that you have international standards when it comes to the corporate governance. We again require the working capital. Investor does don't want to see the company raising money to pay salaries and rents and these kind of things. So we always ask to ask for a working capital report to ensure the sufficient money with the business and to run the business. One of the things we have introduced is lock-in period. When there is a mandatory 1 year lock-in period for all the current shareholders. And the reason we have done this is because giving the investor confidence that shareholder who has been a key part of growing the business with remains investor with the interest of business. So that's where we have introduced the 1 year lock-in period. We allow 100% foreign ownership. We are multi-currency, so you can list in dollar, in dirhams, or any other currency you may choose. And one of the key changes we have done on the growth market is where the main market has a sponsor, and we expect a large investment bank to be acting as a main market sponsor. With a growth market, we have limited a sponsor regime, and we have introduced what the DFSA refer to as a compliance advisor, and we can call a listing advisor who essentially play the similar roles of sponsor and have the key entity behind the due diligence process and putting the prospectus together. The other key change is a listing advisor. Post IPO, we expect listing advisor to also appoint a minimum of 3 years to assess company in ensure they meeting the ongoing disclosures and requirements. And finally, for company who join the growth market to move on the main market, once the company's average market capitalization over a period of 90 days hit $500 million, you can be able to move to main market quite easily. So if we just quick look at listing process and look in the key activities, we can spend hours going through the process and what we need to be done. But we have kind of sped up in three key areas. We have got a pre-IPO preparation process. We have got a during IPO process. And then the actual go to the market when you have going out and raising money. So I won't go into spend too much time on this, but I'm going to come back the point around what you may be ready to IPO, and that's where preparation is really important when it comes to listing process. For investor engagement, you don't wait until you got approval for prospectus and then you go to do a roadshow. It's very important for you to start speaking to the investor at early stage and start getting feedback from the investor, which where your advisor will take you on the early roadshow. And you will do the presentation to analysis because it's important to get feedback from analysis as well. So you will be doing the investor engagement at different points of the process of doing IPO. And one of the key things that it comes to IPO is visibility. And this is what we at Nasdaq Dubai really work with our issuers to give a global visibility through a Nasdaq network and through our brand, where we will do a viral event, both in Dubai and all the way to New York, to really provide that global visibility to our issuers. Nasdaq Dubai is an international standard framework and regulatory system provides debt issuers with a well-regulated and trust platform. This also gives more issuers and investor confidence in the Dubai's capital market. In terms of bond listing issuance, Dubai's capital market has experienced professional advisors who will also better facilitate the successful issuance and listing of bonds. Nasdaq Dubai will also work with issuers for bearing ceremony for the bond listing and provide a global visibility through the region and international media. So today we have 55% debt issuers on Nasdaq Dubai are from UAE and 45% are from international. Therefore, Nasdaq Dubai does not only provide a listing platform for local issuers in UAE, but also companies for all around the world. Issuers in UAE, including the companies and governments, and the issuer in the international, including the major financial institutions and governments of the various countries, including Hong Kong government, Indonesia government, and Maldives governments, listing their bond and sukuk on Nasdaq Dubai. In 2040, Agricultural Bank of China issued the first bond issuance by Chinese issuers on Nasdaq Dubai. Today, the total number of Chinese bonds on the exchange is valued at $15.17 billion. In addition, Hong Kong government also issued three sukuk with total value of $3 billion on Nasdaq Dubai. In terms of the debt listing process, issuer must have a minimum issue amount of more than $2 million and provide 2 years of audit financial report and prospectus required by the FSA. The regulatory requirements of the FSA are very familiar with international standards like Hong Kong, Singapore, and London. In terms of the process, the company needs to appoint advisor, which will assist company to submit the application documents to the FSA and Nasdaq Dubai. Advisor will also assess company in the roadshow stage and connect them with a major investor. After roadshow, Nasdaq Dubai will assess company to hold a bearing ceremony for a listing. So that's a brief about Dubai's capital market and listing Nasdaq Dubai. You can follow Nasdaq Dubai WeChat public account by screening on the QR code at the top of screen to learn more about the latest information on the Dubai's capital market. And you can also get in touch with us through the contact information on the screen. And now I'm going to pass you to Julia. So Julia, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much, Huimin. So that was a great presentation and there's tons to talk about. I'm sure everybody's going to be very interested to know more about listing in Dubai and all the opportunities that Dubai offers. So there's some questions which I can see, but just to kick off with one from me, can you tell us more about the IPO listing team? What professionals are needed for the process? How long does that normally take to put together? How long would a typical IPO process take in Dubai?
Great. Thank you, Julia, for questions. So a IPO listing team consists of a compliance advisor, external audit, and the legal counsels. You may also need to appoint a reporting accountant. And the key activities for compliance advisor to acting as a key communication between the regulator, the FSA, Nasdaq Dubai, and issuers, and the rest of the IPO listing team. Compliance advisor ensure the IPO is managing in line with the DFSA rules, including ensure the preparation of IPO documents, ensure the company has required corporate governance framework in place, and prospectus and all of the IPO submission documents clients are in line with the DFSA regulators. And post-listing, the compliance advisor need to retained it for 3 years to ensure a company is in compliance and what it expects for a public listed company. That is the rules of the compliance advisors. In terms of how long it may take to a IPO listing, so the IPO process can take anywhere from 6 to 7 months, in some cases longer, which will depend on the qualification and preparation works that documents submit by the companies. However, in terms of preparation work, it could be take months to ensure the company has correct corporate structures, financial reports, and prepare prospectus. But once the company application formally submit to the FSA regulator and the prospectus is approved, it usually take 28 to 42 days to get approval for listing. But of course, it depends on company. Some of the company may need different time according to their own instructions, and they may probably, you know, take more longer process. So it really depends.
Does Nasdaq Dubai comment on the document when it's submitted to them, or how does that process work?
So if the company are interested in our market at early stage, we understand like a lot of company from Hong Kong or from China, they may not have a connection or like compliance advisor to not in the region. So at beginning, we will do kind of introductions for the company. Once the company appoints all of the IPO teams and the compliance advisor will leading to prepare all of the documents, submit to a DFSA, including the prospectus. So as a Nasdaq Dubai, we not comment on a prospectus. It really depends on the DFSA.
Right, okay. And they comment, do they sometimes or usually?
What do you mean about
the
that?
DFSA comment on the documents when they're submitted, do they?
Yeah, okay. Yes. And really depends on how many rounds the FSA, the how many concern or question they will bring up when they review their perspectives.
So typically from start to finish, I know there's no hard and fast rule, but generally how long do you think it takes from somebody starting the process to being able to finish? Just roughly.
It really depends. For example, like the as I mentioned in the presentation, the 10th Dubai government IPO, they are government-owned and they have very proper governor, the large corporate company. They may take 3-4 months to finish all the IPO process in the main market.
Sure.
But for the growth markets, because it's SME and growth company, so they may need, they quite required for more, more international standards, the corporate governor, So it could be take longer, or DFSA have more consent or comments on the business, right? So what I can give the timeline is once they approve the prospectus on DFSA, go to a Nasdaq Dubai terms for listing applications, it may take 28 to 42 days to be listed.
So do you think it would take a year, maybe something like that? Would that be a rough estimate? Yeah. Or
it really depends on company. It could be
it could be
like less than 3 months, it could be more than a year. It's really depends.
And in terms of accounting standards, presumably you have IFRS. Is Hong Kong GAAP accepted? Is Chinese GAAP accepted?
Generally, the regulator like the accounting standard to be aligned with international IFRS standards. But I think the regulator is open mind for discussions. So if the company when they submit the prospectus with a Chinese GAAP or American GAAP, maybe they can accept in that time. But once the company going for listed, when they're doing disclosure of the financials, it needs to be IFRS.
So do you think it's helpful for a company, or is it even necessary for a company to have a sort of Middle East connection or a Middle East presence to list in Dubai?
Thank you, Julia. This is a very good question and being asked for many times. So the measurement of a Chinese issuer is it's a more based on the whether they can successfully raising funds in the market, right? So therefore, if the company intend to attracting investor from this region, we recommend the company that listed company has a business still in Middle East or have a clear future strategy plan in the Middle East, because this type of investor story will be more attractive to the region investor. So investor like to see that an international company looking to list in local exchange have a business present. For example, they want to expand their business in the GCC or they are looking for enter for the UAE.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's a question which is somebody's put in the chat, and it relates to the debt market. It says, is the market cap for a debt issuer? They do want to clarify, is it $2 billion or $2 million?
It's $200 million, but
$200 million. Okay.
But that is not a just let me clarify for this point. Yeah. So the requirement is that it's $2 million, but this is not market cap. This is the minimum capital they have to raise.
Minimum capital to raise in order to be listed. Okay. Yeah, that seems a low amount. It's probably why they asked that.
Yeah, but actually in the market,
in reality, it's not likely to be that amount, right?
Yeah, it's really dependent.
The minimum. Yeah. Okay. Can you tell us what the typical commissions are for listing in Dubai? What do the underwriters, what do they charge normally? What's the range of commissions?
That is quite a difficult question for us. I can share with you the cost of the exchange and how much it costs for the DFSA. Mm-hmm. But again, the cost for the investment bank or different role firms, they may charge differently, right? So so the cost of the, because it depends on different kinds of banks and different kind of law firms, they have a different standard when they go to all the IPO fees. So the launch of the growth market is more cost efficient, effective compared to the main market. So the cost benefits also including the exchange listing fees and appoint the listing advisor. As I mentioned in the presentation, the main market have to appoint the investment bank, and the large investment bank as sponsor, they charge more higher. Mm-hmm. So the growth market, we only require for the compliance advisor, which is booty investment bank. And for listing on NASDAQ Dubai Growth Market, exchange fees were including the application fees, which is $5,000, and annual fee was at $10,000. The DFSA regulator fee structured for listing SMEs were also including application fees and annual fees. So the regulator will charge a prospective reviews and filing fees of $10,000. For listing of DFSA official list will be charged $2,500. And regulator also have fixed annual fees for SME listing is at $10,000. But however, the total cost of the listing fees, it depends on the size of companies and how much capital is being raised, and how much the banks and law firm charge as well.
Right, okay. Thank you. So I think you showed a slide which had all these different investors from all over the world, and you showed a typical IPO. But I just wondered when it's, in your experience, when it's a Chinese company listing, are there more Asian investors in that type? Because I know the one you showed overall 6% in that particular screenshot you had. Yeah.
To be very honest, we do have a Chinese issuer listing the security with us, which I mentioned is the top Chinese four banks. Mm-hmm. They play debt with us. But today, the equity, we still not have a Chinese IPO happened. So we're waiting for first IPO to be happened. The example, snapshot I share with you as a international companies. So they are not Chinese company based.
Right.
I expect if there's a Chinese company, they may be more attracting for a lot of Asian investor.
Yeah. So someone has asked a question. And they say 21 shares just listed the first cryptocurrency exchange traded product in the Middle East on NASDAQ Dubai. And the question is, do you think virtual assets is a direction NASDAQ will continue on? And what do investors in Dubai have a positive attitude towards virtual assets? So they're asking about this company, 21 shares. Yeah.
21 share is that Bitcoin funds related. Mm-hmm. So in Dubai, we are quite open for digital assets. So that's why not just 21 shares, 3IQ was the first ETP, like first Bitcoin fund listing in exchange, and 21 shares, the second one. So which means we are very open for digital assets. And not just Dubai, Lhasa Dubai listing in terms of Dubai World Trade Center, which is a free zone in Dubai, and DIFC, they all have the digital sector, which open for digital assets.
So the answer is yes, positive, right?
Yeah, we not really reject any of the sectors, but if in terms of company listing, will be case by case.
Of course, yeah. So I think this is a difficult question, but there seems to be a global downturn. What impact, if any, do you think it will have on the Dubai capital markets? I think someone's asking you to get your crystal ball out, Huimin.
That is quite interesting questions. Mm. I think this year or even last year is very difficult for global economic, yeah. Not just like Hong Kong or like, you know, London or US, but I think a lot of things is because of the COVID-19, right, the restriction. But the interesting is Dubai once there's challenge, there are also opportunities, but Dubai really take the opportunities. So Dubai maintain the COVID situation very well. So once everywhere is locking down, Dubai actually kind of open door for the people visit. So that's why a lot of people, they start to visit anywhere Dubai is open, and they come to Dubai to make beans in Dubai. So actually the international, the effect on the economic, Dubai has actually become more positive. So as I mentioned, Dubai government is also kind of supporting for Dubai economic, Dubai capital market to grow. So that's why we have 10 Dubai government IPO is coming. So three of them already listing with us. One of them, they nearly 15 times oversubscribed. So the market here is still very active. So I don't think that international economic really affect much in the region, but we intense our challenge will really catch the opportunity.
Yeah. And you've just removed all the COVID restrictions in Dubai, right? They've all gone completely.
Yeah, that's correct.
Here's another question someone's raised. For an existing Hong Kong listed company, right? So they're listed on the Hong Kong Exchange and they're incorporated in Cayman, because a lot of Hong Kong listed companies are Cayman. The question is, how long would it take to have a secondary listing on NASDAQ Dubai? That's the question.
Yeah, that's good questions. So for the company listing on other international exchange at Hong Kong or different international exchange and looking for dual listing NASA Dubai, in terms of process simplification, NASA Dubai listing rules and procedures are very familiar with other international exchange. So for a company that have already listed in the international exchange and looking for dual listing in here, it will relatively very simple compared to the IPO process, of course, because the company already have understanding for the capital markets and already have structures and financial reports. Then the covenants of the in terms of document population will be relatively more simple. And it also depends which exchange the company listed, right? So Hong Kong and NASA Dubai, we all based on the English law. So the structures is kind of very similar. And that will help simplify the process and documents when they come for dual listing in NASA Dubai. In terms of requirements, if the company is the growth market size, they need to meet the growth market listing requirements. And the two exchange combined need to be at least 25% free fall, which means if they list Hong Kong with the 10% of the free fall, they have to raise in that 50% free fall in here.
Most companies, unless they're very large, have got a 25% free float in Hong Kong. So the question they're asking is, how long do you think it would take?
It will be, as I mentioned, it will obviously were less than IPO, but it depends. If today there's a pure IPO listing, we have a lot of due diligence need to do, right? And a lot of a paperwork. But in terms of dual listing, they already been listed, and the Hong Kong regulators and the advisor, they already maintain due diligence. So it will be kind of helpful to short the listing times. But again, the company is being listed. So it's, we will also, our documents is disclosed. So if the company, the price up and down and, you know, keep going down or keep going up, it will be other kind of concern we're raising up on exchange and the regulator. But timing is against really depends. But which the surely will be shorter than IPO listing though.
Okay, thank you. So another question someone's raised. I'm sure you're going to be very good at answering this one, Hoiman. May I know what measures the Dubai exchanges have implemented to attract Chinese listings?
That's the question. Thank you so much, Julia, for these questions. We are actually very focusing on Chinese markets, and everyone knows China has very huge markets. And in terms of the country relationship between the UAE and China, it's very close. And that is one of the reasons we want to support Chinese company, not just listing Dubai, it's also going the business in this region. And that is also reason why it's they do have someone like me can speak Mandarin and focusing and have a Chinese team for all of Chinese companies. And we all know like China and US, some of the challenge between. That's why a lot of Chinese company, they're choosing different capital markets. NASA Dubai, based in Dubai, within UAE, have very close relationship with China. And we also have NASA international brand. And I think that is also one of the, attractive points for company to consider of Dubai. And I think we're trying to do a China market quite well. And 2040, the Agricultural Bank of China issued a bond with us. And even the four big Chinese banks are issuing with us. So, and we also keep doing roadshow in China, not just, before COVID, we visit China quite a lot, at Hong Kong, Shanghai, Beijing, the different major cities in China. But after pandemic, we keep doing this kind of roadshow to educate, advisors or company in China to know about Dubai capital market.
So if there's a Chinese company or someone advising a Chinese company that wants more information, they can just talk to you directly, right, Hoiman? Yeah, and you're very open to that. That's the impression I get. Yeah. Awesome. Yeah. So another question. Can you tell us more about the liquidity of the Dubai capital market? Because it's something which people worry about, I think, a lot, is the liquidity of markets. Yeah.
Right, that's right. When we're talking about liquidity, there's two parts. One is the daily trading value. Another one is the ability to buy and sell, right? Mm-hmm. So when we compare the daily trading value of stock on NASDAQ Dubai to other exchange, the true comparison of individual stock against similar stock in other markets can show that our stock can be put or in some case better than other stock listing in the region exchange. And the other one is ability to buy and sell. This is what we reflect as the liquidity. And it's able for an investor to be able to buy and sell at any time. NASDAQ Dubai has investor connect all over 110 countries, which shows the global connectivities. And investor anywhere in the world, they have ability to connect to the exchange. We also have a leading broker in the UAE connect to the exchange. Additionally, we are the only exchange in the region to allow remote membership, which means the Hong Kong based broker, they can connect with us remotely. They don't need to have a present in Dubai. And that's one of the things. And investor that trades on DFM can also trade using the same broker and same investor NIN number to trade in NASDAQ Dubai, which means all the local investors are connected and can trade in both markets. We are also the first exchange here introduce a market maker and liquidity provider, and it always recommends to appoint a liquidity provider to assess creating a liquidity where it's necessary. As the exchange, we have put in place all the right mechanism to create a liquidity, but the major factors comes down to the issuers and the listings, right?
Right, right. Thank you. So another question, is there any particular reason why Chinese issuers have up to now done debt listings in Dubai instead of IPOs? Somebody's asked that.
I think debt listing and IPO is totally two different products, right? So debt listing issuer in our market currently is financial institutions and the governments. So we are very active on debt issuer, and we are also the largest debt issuer venue in the region. And I think that is one of the reasons a lot of financial institutions and governments choose to list in debt with us. In terms of IPO or equity listing, we actually get a lot of interest from China. But I think that it's two ways, right? The company needs to meet the listing requirements, the market needs to accept the companies, and the company are interested to listing here, and they have a good reason to listing here. So today we get a lot of interest, but we're still waiting for the first company to list it here. But I believe once there's the first company this year, there will be many, many more companies are interested in the market. And the first batch or the first Chinese company listed here will be a huge visibility, because it could be the first Chinese company listed in Middle East, not just Dubai.
Yes. And it might be a company perhaps doing a secondary listing, perhaps. Yeah. What do you think are the challenges that Chinese companies perceive? What do you think is holding them back from taking the plunge?
I think that it depends case by case, and different company, they have different reasons, right? And I think this kind of question is not just for this market. In Hong Kong itself, in Singapore, they're also facing a lot of challenge, you know, because different company, they have their own challenge. But we will not say that, you know, Chinese company facing challenge.
Yeah, we say any companies looking at your market. What worries them when they talk to you, Huimin? What do you perceive that they think might be things that they think about?
I think the first very important question is education's right point of view, because not many companies they know this market, so that kind of push their back. But once the company they understand this market and they want to, you know, increase the their business here, they may be more interested in here. But I think different companies, different market, they have their own challenge. So in here, we are not asking for company to have a presence here, but that if the company want to attract the investor here, or the regulator were asking, you don't have the Dubai business, you don't have UAE or Middle East prison or business, why you want to list in here, right? You need to make sense. But that is not our listing requirement.
No, but it sort of commercially makes sense. It's logical, right, isn't it? Yeah. It's the same in every market, I think. Yeah.
But I believe today there's a lot of Chinese companies they're going to enter UAE and Middle East, because that may be the next market in the world, right? So we are quite very positive on that.
Right. Yeah. I think everybody on this webinar is as well. So here's a very specialized question someone's asked. Is there any special rules governing employee share option schemes in your listing rules? Do you have any particular rules? I think where they're coming from is in Hong Kong, there actually is requirements about what the rules what the share option schemes are allowed to say. And I think that's where the question is coming from. Is there anything in particular in the Dubai rules?
I don't think so. I don't really understand what kind of the employee share kind of, but I don't think we have this kind of
restriction. No, I think America doesn't have it either. So you just disclosure in the US. So perhaps it's the same for you. We have very tight rules in Hong Kong about the price at which share options can be granted and so on. So it sounds like you don't have those.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we don't have a restriction for a local person need to be one of shareholder. Yeah. We accept 100% foreigner owned. So if company 100% are Chinese or Hong Kong people own the companies, it's fine for us to do a listing. It doesn't need to be a local people involved.
Okay. So in relation to bonds, can you tell us a bit more about the Islamic bond market and what's the difference between Islamic bonds and standard Western bonds, and how why they're so popular in Dubai, the Sukuk bonds?
Sukuk is mainly related about Islamic culture, like Sharia's compliance, which is follow Islamic rules, which means the company, the sector need to be aligned with the Islamic policies. For example, if the company doing alcohol will be not allowed, not rely on the Sharia compliance. So that is the main difference. And the other thing is for the normal standard bonds, they we call it interest, right? So the company issue a bonds, they have the interest to pay the investor. But in the Islamic bond, which is Sukuk, we don't call it interest. So there's no interest in the Sukuk. I think these two is a major difference.
And it's mainly Middle Eastern and Islamic issuers issuing these bonds, presumably, is it? Or is it others as well?
We do have a lot of, list region issuers issue Sukuk with us. But we also, as I mentioned, we have Hong Kong government, Indonesia government. Those region, they also have a lot of Muslim, and they have also have a Sharia compliance, like Malaysia, Indonesia. And they are also very interesting to list in their bonds in Abu Dhabi.
Right. So it's non-Islamic issuers also issue Sukuk bonds to access Islamic investors, basically.
Yeah, I would say that, but the investor point of view, they don't really restrict the investor to be Islamic related.
Sure, but they're more attractive to them. Yeah. So does either of the Nasdaq exchanges have any preference for the type of companies that are listed? For example, do you prefer technology companies, or is there no particular sector you're seeking to attract?
So listing in Nasdaq Dubai, as I mentioned in the presentation, we don't have restriction on sectors. Yeah. However, the market preference for sector will be linked to the investor investment preference for different sectors.
Right. So do you have, for example, any biotech companies listed?
I think we have kind of an international biotech company listed, but we don't have a Chinese biotech company listed yet.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
But again, we don't restrict on the sector itself. Mm-hmm. It really depends on markets. The investor, for example, like maybe before COVID, real estate construction is very popular in the market, or investor more interested on this kind of sector. But maybe after COVID, the fintech company, right, the IT company, tech company will be more interested. So it depends on the market, how the investor investment performs.
Right. And there's a lot of interest internationally in sort of ESG and other types of green investments. Is there anything in particular that Nasdaq is doing and Dubai is doing in relation to this? Presumably you have ESG disclosure requirements, but are you seeking to attract this kind of listing at all?
ESG is not just top hot topic from today. I think a lot of people are focusing on ESG many years ago, right? So as you mentioned, like we do have a required company listing to buy financial markets have an ESG report and some of the related disclosure. Mm. And for the ESG, it's not mandatory requirement for in terms of listing companies, but definitely will be more attracting for the investor, right? Some of the investors, they may more focusing on the green finance, or they may more interesting or any of the ESG related company, what they do for the global development. So that kind of thing, it again depends on the investor. But for us, for listing requirements, we don't have a restriction or preference for the ESG.
So if a financial advisor and or a company is thinking about working on wanting to do a Dubai listing, what would you advise them to do, Huimin? I mean, come and visit, talk to you, what do you think they should do to look at the whole situation, understand it and to reach decisions? What would be your advice?
Yeah, Julia. I think that's a good question, Julia, how to start, right? So that's very important after they go through today's webinar. They are very interested. But how to start it. So I think one of the things very important is education I mentioned earlier. So the company or even the advisors in Hong Kong, they need to know about the rules of the exchange and what's the listing rules and what the regulations here, right? So we are kind of open door for all the companies. If they have any concern of a listing requirements or, do they need any support to connect with the regulator here or any of the advisor here, we're always very, happy to support. So this kind of connection, we will also help you to build. And so we will also educate you or your clients about the Dubai capital markets. So I think how to start, we will share with our the contact information after. So the first step is education. Like you need to know the market very well on the official channel, right? And secondly, I will always suggest a case-by-case discussions because that will be very helpful for us to move to the next stage, not just general discussions. So once you got to know all of the requirements or all of the listing rules in the market and you find out you do have some of the clients that fit this market, we can discuss of your clients in more detail.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Well, that's incredibly exciting and encouraging, Hui Min. Thank you so much. Thank you very much for being with me today and with everybody who's been on this webinar. And we've heard so much, and having been in Dubai recently myself, I know what a dynamic and exciting place it is. It's impossible not to feel energized when you're there. And I can tell you guys that Hui Min's office is quite amazing. I mean, it sort of looks like a film set, actually. So it's actually real where she's sitting. It actually exists. It's not just a backdrop that she has behind her. So the whole place is very energizing and exciting, and it's impossible not to feel that you ought to be doing something there when you actually go there. So thanks again, Hui Min, for joining me, and thank you everybody for being with us today. Thank you all very much for joining us. Thanks again, Hui Min, and see you all soon. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you, Julia. Thank you.
Bye. Have a good day.